On our program, we're taking time today to visit with the candidates for mayor for the city of Boone. And I'm in alphabetical order. We've got Tracy Anderson here. Tracy, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks for the invite. Hope to have a good interview.
And we have Denny Hammond next on it.
Thanks, Jim.
And Eli Stein.
Thanks for having me.
So, Tracy, the last one in. Eli was the first one in. And Denny, you were in the middle there, so get going here. Let's start and right away. I know you guys have all done a lot of promotional things out there, letting people know about yourself, about your campaigns. Let's kind of give a brief summary, if you can. Tracy, what attracted you and a little bit about your background?
What attracted me to run for mayor is I was born and raised here in Boone, Iowa, and the candidates that were running, I thought, well, I think I have a chance to make things better, not knocking on either of the candidates, but I wanted that opportunity to run.
Sure.
Like I said, I was born and raised here in Boone. I did move away for a year or 2 years out to Washington, but came back, been in business for a total of 35 years here in town, 31 at the restaurant at Saints Avenue and 1 year at or 4 years at TA's Tree Service. Yeah. So I've been involved in numerous community involvement programs. Mm-hmm. I really enjoy the town, and I hope to make things a little better.
All right. Denny.
Yeah, Jim, same thing. I've been in Boone for quite a while, since 1964. Married Carol Renee Graybaugh, who's born and raised here. Been in the car business for 48 years, which 37 was with the Clemens Organization, and then John Slight and I co-owned S&H Motor Company. So that's my working experience. My family, we just started our 50th year in the dance business, Carol Renee Dance, so we're pretty proud about that. The reason for running is I just want to give back to Boone. With the 47 years, 48 years in cars, and the 50 years in dance, this town has given our family a lot, and I just feel it's time to give back. I have some other ideas on keeping the city going in the right direction, and that's why I chose to run.
Okay. Eli, you're the youngest one.
I am, yeah. I was born in Cherokee, Iowa, and I grew up in Holstein, Iowa. I went to University of South Dakota for a bachelor's in math and psychology and a master's in math, and then came back to Iowa after I got married to Katie, my wife, currently still, and we came back to Iowa to get my PhD at Iowa State University. We moved to Ames initially because that's where Iowa State is, but we're both from very small towns, and so we came over to Boone when she got a job with Boone News Republican and saw the houses here. This was the type of city that we wanted to grow our family at. And so after I got my PhD in 2012, we stayed here, and I got a job as I'm faculty at Iowa State in the math department. I'm the associate chair of the department, and I'm a full teaching professor there as well. And I ran for office in 2017 for Ward 3 City Council. I ran for re-election in 2021. Service has been a large part of my life ever since I was a child. I got my Eagle Scout. That's all about giving back. Mm-hmm. I've been in the Lions Club pretty much since we moved here, and I'm currently the president of the Lions Club as well, contributing to various philanthropic organizations throughout town. So service is really what I'm about. What I want to do is serve the city.
Well, let's get right into some of those topics that I know people are waiting to hear about. So a lot of people listening probably want to get right to some of these. So obviously the rec complex or wellness center, call it what you will, we know that we've had the vote on it. That's one of the hot topics going out here. I know there's a task force looking at taking a look at a recreation program. Boone had a rec program 20-plus years ago. And actually, when the hospital gave the old building back to the Y of Greater Des Moines, they wanted those programs, and they took them over at the time, so the city stopped that offering that service. And again, that's one of those things, do we work on something like that? And obviously, a lot of people go right to the, are you going to have a building, and what's it going to be, that sort of thing. Denny, let's go with you first. What are your thoughts on it? Where are you at on this topic? Let's just go with today because things can change.
Right. No, I've been a proponent of a wellness center. I look at it as a quality of life type of situation. Besides the economic development that they can come from that, we need something for the for our family, for our young people, our elderly, to go to, and improve their quality of life. That thing can generate housing, restaurants, hotels, and it gives something for people that are coming into town, something to look for or to look at as a positive. Besides the schools that we've now have that have been upgraded, these young families with young kids look to see what is in it for me. What do they have? What kind of programs do they have? And it's a situation to where when the Y was here, we used to hang out there a lot. You met your peers, your friends, you all got together. Those things are not there right now. And the kids are scattered all over. And if you have a place like this where everything is kind of centrally located, you can host tournaments, you can have things going on in a building. Now, keep in mind, this committee is looking at, it's a feasibility committee, okay? That doesn't mean that it's going to be cut and dried and here's the pool and here's where it's going to be. They're going to, in fact, its survey is out right now for you folks out there. Make sure you pick up a survey and fill it out so that they can figure out just what the town wants, if it needs, the different things they'd like to see in it, and so on and so forth. Sure. Then they're going to bring that to council and to the public. They're going to have several meetings on that and see if there's a feasibility of the program at all. If it is, I'm all in. Okay. Definitely.
All right. Eli.
Thank you. Yeah, I also serve on the task force. And I agree with a lot with what Denny said there. And it's very important that we go back to the citizens of Boone first and see what their needs and desires are and have that gap analysis from ISG to tell us what are the areas where we're lacking in resources, what are the areas we already have resources, and then go from there. But nothing's going to happen without the input and the approval of the public. when we had the first proposal out there, I warned at the time that it went too quickly for my tastes and I think the tastes of many people in the community, and it ultimately was voted down. And when it came back to try to do it without a vote, I was adamantly opposed to that as well. I think we needed to take what happened in the first proposal, reassess, reevaluate, and go back to the citizens to see what were the areas that you were in favor of, what were the areas that you were not in favor of, because people that voted against it for a whole myriad of reasons. And so we need to suss that out and find out. And at the end of the day, I really want to make sure we can find ways to reinvest in our community. And if we have a proposal that goes forward, that would be a great opportunity for to build a capital campaign for a large amount of corporate investment that could take the place of the public investment as well. So okay. I think there are a lot of opportunities to both leverage community interest and corporate donations to help this succeed. But definitely the public has to come first.
Okay. Tracy, your position.
I, on the other hand, am opposed to the rec center. It's been voted down twice. The citizens of Boone have already voiced their opinion. I don't know why it's trying to be forced down our throat at a different angle by calling it a different name. We already pay a lot of money in property taxes and other money, and we do have a good amount of senior citizens that live on a budget, and to find another way for them to have to pay, whether it be through the utility bill or something else, people only have so much money.
I'm just opposed to it. Okay.
Correct.
So as a point of factual clarification, there was only one vote.
Okay. Well, we do know, it's still going to happen because there's still going to be people that are going to go out there and still work on, you know, we need this, and we see it all the time happening for other issues and other things as well, not just this, but sidewalks, you know, another perfect example that keeps showing up. So,
but this thing, if it would pass and go in, it would increase an economic development situation that this town's never seen before, and a quality of life. I mean, I don't understand why somebody would be opposed. If it's feasible now, keep in mind, I keep saying that, but if it's feasible not to have a program like that or a facility like that, or you can host things to come in, bring in more businesses. You'd like to have more business come to your restaurants, I would think, Tracy. You know, the housing possibility of other restaurants, nothing against that, and hotels and so on and so forth. If you look around who else is doing it, that's what's generated. And we got to get some revenue into the town in order to increase our taxes and so on and so forth, spread it out. And I guess I want to clarify one other thing, too, with you, Eli. Didn't you originally on the first one, you were all in on the program? That's what you said. Okay.
Yeah. So
you're definitely wanting
right.
the deal, and then
we were
then
on
you changed your mind down the road. You voted against it.
I never voted against.
Well, you opposed it. Let's put it that way.
I never.
You wanted the later election.
Yes, I adamantly opposed going forward without a public vote. That was a hard line for me. Okay.
And I just want to go back. Tracy, your position is just people can't afford it.
Well, yes. So you want to bring business to our town. Let's look at our comparable property taxes to what we're paying. We take a house that's valued at $335,000 in Boone, Iowa, and we're going to call that 100% property tax because that person's paying about $5,500 in property tax. Okay, we can go to the city of Ames, and the same value house in the city of Ames is paying about 81% of what we are. You go to the city of Madrid, it's 72% of what we're paying. And if you go to the city of Ogden, it's about 76% of what we're paying in our town. So if you want to talk about economic growth, we need to do something with our property taxes because it does make a big difference if somebody looks at a house in Boone, Iowa, and says, hey, I got to pay $5,500 in property taxes, or I can go to Ames and pay 81% of what we're paying in Boone. I'm telling you, you're losing people coming to this town.
Okay. Yeah.
Let's go to property taxes right now because roughly out of every tax dollar that's collected, just under 40 cents goes to the city.
And I think I want to go back to one of the things that I voted against was the timing of the bond vote. I did not want it to happen in March. I'm very, very
– okay.
Now it's state law that it has to be on the general election date. Yeah, we pay $15.13 per 1,000 in the city of Boone. $6 of that goes to employee benefits. We are slightly above the average. I looked this up today in terms of cities. And I think the best way to go about lowering our levy is to increase the stock of houses, increase the valuations on those individual houses by letting people invest in their own homes or new homes and spread the property tax burden out so we can simultaneously reinvest in deferred maintenance issues and lower the property tax levy. That's the best way to get that tax levy down.
Yeah. Out of that levy, I'm roughly three quarters got to be at least personnel related.
Yeah, $6 of that 15, 13. And we almost have no debt service levy at all. We have carry very, very little general obligation debt, and we are at the 810 max limit for the general fund.
So is it a matter of positioning? I'll go back to Denny and let you on the property taxes. Your position there, because again, it's been pretty steady for a while. I think just a 0.5% increase in the last tax year to this tax year for Boone.
The levy tax, of course, was if you look, we actually dropped it 50 cents.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so it did go down, and we're at the maximum tax or rate, levy rate.
On the general,
you have to do that
fund.
Because if you don't do that with inflation and so on, you're going to have to cut some things out of the city, your services. Okay, and so what are you going to cut? Where are you going to go? All right, so that's why you got to keep the levy up.
I think Ames is one of the few that doesn't have an 810 max on their general fund.
It's about 3/4 of the cities in the state that have the 810 max.
Yeah.
So, between 2/3 and 3/4.
Yeah. So again, so for Boone, we're looking at that amount of money coming in. Most of it is personnel wise. Where do we have some limitations? Do we have some limitations you can look at? Or?
I couldn't give you exact numbers because I'm not in the position to know every number. I just researched some properties today and just seeing what's out there and what people are paying. It's if we're at the maximum amount we can
on the general fund part of it.
On the general fund, okay. Yeah.
$8.10 there.
Why are there other towns right around us that are not at the maximum amount to cover that also?
Well, again, I think all of them are in Boone County.
They are in Boone County.
But Ames, I know Ames is not.
Yeah, they're an outlier in the 810. You know, another way you could draw that property tax levy down is pay for that. One way we do buy down that $6 in personnel is through our local option sales tax. I think it's a 20% of the local option sales tax goes to buying down. And that's, you can't change that percentage. Mm-hmm. But if we have more local option sales tax coming in, more revenue, then we can buy down that tax levy even more.
Mm-hmm. Denny, any other thoughts on the property tax issue? Again, the big issue is we get a portion of what we're paying. My tax dollars, 40 cents, I know, or less than 40 cents goes here. The school had the big drop last time, very noticeable drop in their levy rate. But again, we had at the same time others that were going up. One of the challenges for a lot of people were the valuations that came out. And again, that raises that amount that
and
ends up being taxable.
But that's established by the state. A lot of people think it's done through the city. It's
and then
not.
They have a rollback, and it's a very complicated process.
I want to go to another thing once because, like, Tracy doesn't get into a lot of the budget things and hasn't been through that process to see what's going on. And again, one of the things that'll come up, and I know that the legislature is doing it, we'll have to wait and see what kind of impact it has, but they're trying to put some restrictions on what can be done as far as levy rates and things like that. Boone, with your growth, probably sitting pretty good right now. You'll probably lose some of that dollars you have coming in. Where do you start looking at making reductions if you start getting limitations there? Where do you think? Because, again, this you haven't been through budget before.
Right, so I haven't been through the budget, so I don't know about reductions. But I also do realize you need to bring people to town.
Mm-hmm.
You need to bring business to town to help lower costs. So do we step in to building a spec warehouse, such as people do a spec home, and have it there because people want something to move into? So if we build a spec house, a spec warehouse that's 40,000 square foot, and you've got a company out there saying, hey, we're looking at Boone, Ames, that area to build a corporation, and if we have something already here, we've got it. We're not losing any money on property taxes because we own it.
Okay. Yeah, we did that quite a while ago. I don't know. I've been around long enough to remember most of them, but Benny, you might remember. But yes, it's APC.
APC
it
was that way.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
It was one of those there. Let's talk a little bit about economic development because I know one of the other topics that keeps coming up is the city had tried to secure an economic development person, somebody to write grants and do things like that. It just so happened. We really didn't get any good candidates. Ames Economic Development approached the city and said, you know, we could work with you. We work with a dozen other cities already. Have a, I think, what, a contract for about $105,000 a year?
Yeah, for the next 3 years. Renewed.
Let's talk economic development. Are you comfortable with working with Ames Economic Development? What do you think? Should it change? And if it changes, what do you change to?
Yeah, that's a really great question. And a lot of people might not know all the details about this, but we have a contract with Ames Economic Development, and they have contracts with a lot of the cities around us as well, with Boone Economic Growth Corporation and the Chamber and everything like that. So they have relationships with all of these different entities, and I think, you know, becoming enmeshed in growing the entire county as a whole, we want to make sure that they are focused on growing Boone, the city of Boone, to fulfill our contract. I think they do great work, and I also think that in the future, if things go well, we should look at having an in-house economic development director so that we can have that really person that's just there for us, and they could be the point person with Ames Economic Development to bring in that ancillary stuff through from throughout the state, state mm-hmm. funds, federal funds, and things like that. And so we can have a good partnership going forward through there.
Okay.
It's going to be what we pay Ames ED for, and try to hire somebody to do that. I don't know if anybody's aware. There's 14 people in the Ames Economic Development. So we have 14 people working on stuff for the city and County of Boone. If you hire a director, you might get him for $100,000, $110,000. Plus, if you put in benefits, it's even more than that. So it's a no-brainer. And when you look at what Ames has already brought in as far as projects and so on and so forth, I mean, they got the CAT grant for 812 Keeler. They did the one in the Tin Pig, the new restaurant that's going up across the City Hall. They partnered with Alliant and Fairway for the solar project. And the big one is Kate's Point. That's a complex that's going to be built on the west side of town. And that thing alone is $15, $16 million. Also, Brenda Dreyer happens to be a friend of Debbie Durham, who happens to be the state head of economic development. And that's a good tie there. Plus, if you want to go to Ag Cert and talk to Dan O, the only reason that gentleman and that company is in Boone, Iowa is because of Dan Colhane, who is the head of Ames Economic Development. He'll tell you that, and he said it in a meeting. And they're looking at a possibility of building a $40 million project. So just do the math. You're in millions of dollars of things that they've brought in a 2-year span.
Yeah.
And otherwise you're going to have one guy trying to do all that by himself. Can't happen.
Tracy, your thoughts about working with Ames Economic Development. The concept what they use is if it's good in Boone and Story counties, it's good for all of us.
Working with an outside town for economic development, I just don't think they set, in my opinion, they set their best foot forward for your town. I think in my mind that beings they're out of Ames, Story County, if someone wants to come in and build something to the large quantity, they're going to kind of try to lean towards their town.
Okay. So probably not doing their best job for Boone.
I don't see that whatsoever. You know, because it's...
Well, I said you guys would disagree on things.
Well, absolutely. And I don't know if anybody's pushing your agenda on that, Tracy, but I know there's a gentleman here in town that's a supporter of yours that wants to go back to the old way on economic development. And it's Mr. Nystrom, Gary Nystrom, and he's in favor of putting it back to the good old boys type of situation. And that just doesn't work in today's world. You've got to have, you know, where you pat each other on the back, you get the project, blah, blah, blah. You got to have a company that does this for a living every day, knows how to get the grants, and so on and so forth. We have Brenda, who is our representative. She's working for the city and the county of Boone. That's her job. So I don't know why people have that vision of Ames is only going to think about things in Ames. I just don't see it.
I would say, you know, they're fulfilling the terms of their contract. They are bringing economic development here. If they weren't, then that would be a different conversation than we'd have to have down the road. And I do see the value of having an employee that is focused on the city of Boone. I don't think we're there yet where we need both, but if we grow successfully, then that person will be kept busy and they will be in constant contact with Ames EDC if we choose to continue that contract. But I think for right now, they really are delivering on the terms of their contract. And I think all the other cities that are working with them feel the same. Otherwise, they wouldn't have entered into contracts either. Mm-hmm. But we have to, you know, it's a business arrangement and we have to make sure that that is fulfilled.
I want to go back to Tracy because... Pretty sure you got some thoughts.
I do. I just sense your hesitation about renewing a contract. You're kind of hesitating when you say you're going to that the city will renew the contract.
It's been renewed. I was happy to renew that contract for 3 years. No, it's 3 years, and then you evaluate the contract. You'll see what the price tag is too.
Right,
everything like that.
And what's not said is all the things that they're working on currently that we can't talk about because that's just the way that works.
Yeah.
You can't talk about a possible somebody coming in here until it's actually done. So just the things that we mentioned, and I got a list of things they've done. There's just a smaller list, but very many things that they're working on right now that's going to come into Boone, possibly, that we can't talk about.
Okay. Well, let's talk about one that's not. Corporate offices for Fairway decided to make a move. I think a lot of people were disappointed to hear that. Let's go with Tracy first. Your thoughts about that? Could the city have done more, do you think? I don't know what all was involved either. But
so I don't know if the city was even I don't know if the city even knew
made a proposal
that they were even looking outside of our town. Mm-hmm. And I think if the city would have known beforehand, they would have made some sort of adjustment to try to keep them here.
Mm-hmm. The corporate, we're talking, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, the corporate headquarters name. Yeah. A retention offer was not made to the city.
Yeah.
And they had talked about that right,
before. The mayor had talked to the Fairway, hey, if it ever comes about, let us know.
Yeah.
Am I right?
And so retention offer was not made. We weren't given an opportunity to make that adjustment if it were necessary. I don't think ultimately there was anything that we could have done as a city. And I do realize that it is a moral blow to the citizens of Boone who fostered this company from its infancy. And it's one of those things where it's like if you raise a child and they're very successful in life and they go off and spread their wings, you can take pride as a city in fostering that growth of that successful business. Even if it's just a name change from the corporate headquarters from Boone to somewhere else, we still have all of the people that work in the warehouse, and those are good warehouse jobs. I've worked those jobs. And those are going to expand because that entire building now is going to be a warehouse, and we're going to ship a lot more product out of there.
Yeah, and the building downtown, I've talked to the Fairway reps there. They're going to put more people in there in reality. We're losing 6 human beings, I hate to say that way, that work in that building that don't live in Boone anyway. So we lost the word headquarters. That's the bad part. That's the gut punch.
Mm-hmm.
But we're maintaining people in the building downtown, and Fairway is also going to expand out at the industrial park area.
And those are things that we have to see, watch and see if they do, I'm guessing, Tracy.
Correct. Right? I just think...
Give us an opportunity, right?
Right. Give us the opportunity. And also, at the same time, as things grow, new people come to the head of things, and they have a different view on their company.
Yeah. And we've seen some big changes with them. So that's one of the things that I recognized in the years being here and covering it, a lot more corporate participation in the community. We've seen over those last several years, anyway. So that's one of many things going on. I just wanted to ask about that because I know that was kind of it was a bit of a challenge. So. Let's talk a little bit about some of these other interesting things. I know that people keep bringing up or will bring up to you if they haven't. We've got 110 miles of paved roads in Boone, and people would like to see more done with the roads. The problem is limited amount of dollars. So how do you prioritize, I guess? Let's start with Denny on this one here. Well, how do you prioritize? And
here's the problem there, in my opinion, is that the infrastructure, which I would call the roads part of that, is that over the last 20 years, and probably can go back further than that, is that the infrastructure in this town is very, very old. So the folks back then didn't maintain it. So what's happened since is that we've had to put a lot of our dollars underground, sewer, water, you name it. And so you can't see what's being spent. That's where that money's going. I did talk to Waylon Andrews, who's in charge of the streets and that. He's got an idea, that's all I can say, of trying to get some of these bad spots in town. But we can only work with what the money that we have, and it's tight, okay? And so that's the project. He's got some different ideas of maybe doing some things that will work without having to tear the streets completely out. That's an idea. They have done I forget the term, the gravel and tar
Oh, the new equipment the that new, he's got.
Thank you.
They
have done that. I've heard pros and cons on that. Mm-hmm. You know, it does fill the pothole. Now we go over them instead of under them. But at least we're working at it. I know they've done some other projects here lately. It's a slow process, and we're not the only town, unfortunately.
Yeah, it's a near universal problem with all cities. You could put $100 million on all the roads today, and you still wouldn't have them all replaced. And it's something that I think that every candidate for office really hears about and feels that needs to be addressed. It is a limited resource issue. We have the road use tax that we put to use every single year. We expend all of that. We put additional local option sales tax into that fund too, and we have CIP that we prioritize major road projects. So 8th Street is oncoming. But I think, you know, getting South Marshall done like we did last year, was it already? That was a great thing. We switched to going from tearing up the entire street, replacing all of the sewer underneath, to just doing the mill and overlay.
Right.
That allowed us to cut the price tag a lot and still get a good quality road on there. And so innovative approaches like that are going to allow us to stretch those dollars further and be more aggressive on replacing
the state's
streets.
The state's even done that on the highways. They've went to that program.
Tracy, yeah. I'm sorry. You drive a lot of roads.
It's so where I stand on the issue is we have to do something about it. If we continue being reactive to problems in our town, stuff is never going to get done. We've got to get to a point where we're proactive. If the roads would have been taken care of X number of years ago, mm-hmm. when we started seeing the problems, we wouldn't be in the situation we're in where we need $100 million or whatever it is to repair our roads. Mm-hmm. I think we need to be a little more proactive than reactive.
Okay. Ideas, because I know this would be a whole new process for you. I know they do work with the DOT to do an analysis on roads. That kind of thing you would look to continue, I'm guessing?
Definitely. Yeah. It's got to be done. The stuff they're spraying in the slurry coat they're spraying on the streets right now, I've done it in my parking lot before at the restaurant, and come wintertime, you run a plow over it, and guess what's gone?
It's gone.
The same thing you just put in there, and they just sprayed the roads 2 weeks ago.
Okay. So, well, that's one of the things that'll be going on anyway. So, roads, folks, still out there, and will we get them? Well, it's like I say, as long as you fix mine, I'm fine.
Well, you know? If you want to see a bad road, come down to my place.
Well, and we know they're out there. It's just one of those ongoing issues.
Yes,
as long as we're kind of on the road part of it, let's talk about some snow removal, because that always attracts a lot of comments from people when it starts, and it's going to be the season before long. We'll go. Tracy, you move a little snow on occasion, too.
So Waylon Andrews took over the snow removal, and it used to be a rule that it was 3 inches or more, then we'd start moving snow. But now it's on Waylon's call. He's got it down to a science where it takes him, I think he said, 6 hours or 8 hours, and he can clear the whole town. So everybody looks at, well, why aren't we doing this? Well, you got to realize we got to pay these people, okay? Mm-hmm. So are we operating on a 60-hour work week for these people where they're not sleeping because we're plowing the roads for 14 hours, 15 hours a day? These people got to have time off. You can't stick a human being behind a plow for 12 to 14 hours. It doesn't work. I've been there and tried it.
Yeah. And I don't know if the OSHA lets you do that anymore, too. We do the parking. You know, people can't park on the streets. When essential to do things like some of the street removal, snow removal, because you probably remember back in the days when we tried to get a grader down, a maintainer down a road. And
you had to plow around the car that was there, and then when they go shovel their car out, they push it right back in the street. It freezes that night, and then you have the worst roads possible. So by moving the cars off the street, I think it's a great idea, although some people don't like it because they're going to get towed. It has to work that way in order for our streets to be cleaned.
Okay.
I think the biggest thing with that is the communication issue, which is at a core of a lot of the issues that we have to deal with, is how do you get the information out to people, really make sure that people know to sign up for those text alerts and things like that so they can get their cars off the street. And I think that one of the things that comes up with snow removal, this is a little bit tangential, but if we have property damage from a snowplow, I want to make sure the city makes that person whole, whether it's the first, second, third, or fourth, fifth time. I had a gal who had her mailbox hit, and the stuff happens. Those are big machines, but I want to make those people whole with that, and not just on the first time, but subsequent times on that. So that's a policy that I'd like to revisit.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Denny?
Well, I just think Waylon, since he's been there, nothing against JR prior, I think he's done a heck of a good job in expediting that snow removal. To get the
volume of snow off the roads.
Well, yeah, but to let people know, I mean, if they live here in town, they definitely know they got all kinds of ways of being contacted. They can go out and look at the sign they just parked in front of, et cetera. And I know it's an inconvenience. I get it. I understand that completely. But also, they're the first ones that maybe complain about how bad the roads are. Your car was one of the reasons, possibly. So I have no qualms the way it's being done right now, anyway. And they can go into the computer. They got their phone. There's several different ways to find out.
It's one of those things. The first time it happens, all of a sudden you get everybody's caught.
And we, over the past several years, there have been very few times that we've done a residential snow ordinance. They try to limit it as much as possible. They do the downtown snow ordinance a lot more.
They actually, I'm pretty sure that I get a text message on my phone that says snow ordinance in effect at
That's
a certain
right.
time.
Yep.
And
so
I'm not going to say that 95% of this town has a cell phone, but I would venture to say 95 to 100% of the people in this town have a cell phone.
So reiterating that information to have them sign up, make sure that they know about it, stuff like that. Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to ask that one because that usually draws some response from people. So it's one of those issues that shows up out there too. So let's talk about the railroad next, shall we? That's obviously one of the big, it draws a lot of complaints from people. I see a lot of calls to the communication center, not just in Boone, but throughout the county as well. It is a challenge. These trains are bigger, they're longer. Sometimes they stop here, sometimes they don't. Again, it's you don't know. And when they stop, it blocks a lot of crossings. Mm-hmm. Well, let's go first with, I'm going to go with Eli on this one.
Thanks for the question. Railroads are just complicated beasts because it's, you know, federally regulated. You have the railroad property and then you have city property and things like that. I think the idea of making sure that sign is larger so people can call on those train crossings very, very easily is a good thing. They're talking to the DOT about that, the possibility of that. We have to engage our federal representatives, our representative and our senators, and be in their email inbox, send paper letters. And Terry Moorman has talked to Senator Ernst about that and got a representative over here to take a look at the crossings and everything like that. And they did fix a couple of those crossings. So I think that has borne fruit already. This is a national issue. And we have to make sure that we band together as cities and speak with one voice to make sure we pressure our federal representatives to do the right thing and increase safety for all of our communities. It's not just Boone. So if we work together, we can get a lot more done.
Because this affects Ames and Nevada, too.
Correct.
And our folks were in Washington in April, and they approached Ernst and those representatives out there with the complaint. When the guy came to town that represented the UP,
The guy that came from Ernst would be the federal
Department of Transportation.
Right. I should say, excuse me.
Federal Railroad Administration.
You know, he says that their lobby is big. It's going to be a slow process and so on. The other thing is that you hear, well, let's build another viaduct or an overpass. Monetarily, you can't do that. It's just, it doesn't work.
People's property either.
Well, there you go. And a good example is people use Division Street, for instance, for an overpass. It'd have to start somewhere on the north side of the Little League Park, and it'd end probably somewhere up around 15th or 16th Street. That's how long that'd have to be. Now, you're going to displace all those people, number one. Then you're going to have to get on and offs and unders. It's just monetarily just not even feasible. And the viaduct's the same way. The viaduct that we currently have, I think this sounds maybe silly, but if they would just put a facade on it of some sort and make it look prettier, it's there, it passes inspection, There's no issues. It's just ugly. Mm. Okay? Mm. But
Tracy, your thoughts on the railroad issues?
After the last city council meeting, Terry Moorman spoke up, and he is working hard dealing with Joni Ernst and the federal people, sending emails, copying people on emails, trying to get something done. As Eli said, there's a little sign that says if a train's blocking the road, you need to call this number. They're trying to make that bigger. What's happening is the first car in line can see that number, and that's it. The second guy in line has no idea what that thing is. Yeah. And third guy has no idea. So they're working on getting that sign made bigger so they can hear every single phone call that's coming in about a train being blocking the road for 15, 20, 30 minutes at a time.
Yeah. And that works. They listen to that far more than the
volume,
a phone call.
Volume of people.
Volume of people. You got to call in.
So, again, those are one of the challenges. And I know people were kind of hoping that with the overpass out east, they would start pulling further to the east.
Yes. They made the train longer.
We'll
see.
Well, no, there's that, too.
That road is super, super busy in the morning. The overpass over Highway 30 onto 17 in the morning at 6:30 in the morning, it is like it is a parade coming over that bridge. So people are using it.
It's getting a lot of use.
Yeah. Well, so everybody stay safe. Don't forget the T intersection in the dark. That just happens to be my pet peeve on that. So it's one of those. So railroads, again, that's just going to be one of those things. I know you'll end up getting complaints. Whether you're a mayor or not, you're still going to hear complaints about it because that's just one of the things that people aren't happy with. So, let's see. I was going to jump around to I wanted to get back to some economic development things. We've had a big effort going on through the chamber for a Main Street designation. They've really been working on it. Can't really do a Main Street designation unless you have public-private partnerships. We seem to have gotten a pretty good start on that. Is this something you would like to see continue, or is this something that really would be beneficial for downtown? Tracy?
I think it needs to continue. With the program they have for fixing facades where the city pays X number of dollars and the person who owns the building pays a certain amount, one thing I do disagree with, we had a great session of planting trees, but I guess we forgot once you cross the tracks, you're not on Main Street. So I'm not sure why we don't include north of the tracks.
Okay. So I thought there for the committee, okay? It's a bigger area.
Yeah, when they do the next application, they'll have to set parameters for the exact location of the Main Street area. And I actually agree that including that portion north of the tracks is a great idea because Tina McDonald, what she's doing at her building is just phenomenal. The ideas that she's got to revitalize that corridor along with the Boone Scenic Valley Railroad would make an excellent fit for a Main Street application if they go forward there. I think that pursuing the Main Street application is something that we need to do, and I'm so grateful for all of the volunteers on that Main Street community, for the Downtown Boone Group and the things that they're planning and everything like that. And I think that even if we don't get the designation, we're still building momentum so that people are excited about investing downtown. Individual business owners are investing in business in their buildings. Mm-hmm. They're owning them. They're in there. They're all invested. It's not like an absentee landlord situation. They have ownership of it, and they take real pride in that. And the organic formation of something like Shops on Story just tells you that there's a hunger for that within the business owners themselves. So I think there's some real momentum there. There's a real spark there. Whether or not we get the Main Street designation, I think some really good things are going to happen downtown.
I agree to somewhat on that. But the people that own those buildings downtown have got to make an effort to fix up their fronts. And I know it's pricey and costly, but if you want it to look like the Main Street Committee's vision is, you're going to have to put some money in these faces. Because right now, some of those buildings just don't make it. You know that.
Yeah. So one of the things is, again, as I said, public-private partnership. Yes. We do have some that bought in, several businesses or property owners actually did buy in on it. The city did put some dollars towards it. Right. And again, that was subject to approval by the Main Street. again, the big thing would be, yes, we'd like to be successful. Was it? They only do two every 2 years, every other year.
Right.
So
it's competitive.
It's a competitive process. Getting more involvement, that's got to be one of the challenges. Would that be something, obviously the chamber would like to sell people on it, but having support from the mayor would certainly be beneficial too.
Definitely. And it's a shame that we can only do two a year.
You know, for the Main Street.
The state does too.
Oh, yeah. The state does too?
Yeah.
And then how much do we allow as a city? 45,000? Do we set aside for that?
I think what?
You're talking about BDIF.
Yeah.
But the downtown is
set aside for that.
We've had two BDIF projects.
Right.
Okay.
So Jim was talking about Main Street designations. There's two Main Street designations a year. The BDIF project's an unlimited up to the amount of the fund. And actually, we ran out of money this time, and we increased the amount of money allotted to that in order to get some more done. I'd have to lose count on the individual projects this year, but I think there were three or four.
I think they run out of money a little too fast on it. If you want people to improve stuff, yes, it's your responsibility as a business owner to keep your stuff up.
Mm-hmm.
There's no doubt in that. But if we give them that incentive, if we have a little more money set aside for it, it's going to make it a little easier on a business owner to do it.
Mm-hmm.
I took that program at Saints Avenue and redid the whole front of my restaurant.
Yep.
So they helped me out with that, which
again,
it was great help.
The way it works is, again, it's a reimbursement for dollars that are spent.
Yep.
You guys did allocate additional resources,
right.
If you go through it. I think you did 50,000,
yeah,
this year.
But. Yeah, yeah. And so it's, you know, started before my time, that project, and kept it going and expanded it.
And Denny, I know you've seen a number of businesses downtown, probably talked to a couple of the business owners that
involved
with it.
But I think that we could, if we, I'm kind of like Eli though, if we don't get the approval
for the Main Street.
Main Street.
Yeah.
I think that that what we're doing, we're heading down the right direction. Just got to clean it up, in my opinion, and make those storefronts look more presentable. Find somebody to get into that place where Fairway was sitting to fill in, and so on and so forth. You got to remember, a lot of people don't want to do the old style, whatever. They like the bright, new, shiny kind of thing. That's what went to the south side, as they say. But there's properties and there's businesses that can take advantage of that downtown. Because I remember, like you, Jim, it was very vibrant at one time. Okay, downtown was.
We storefronts have quite the retailers that we had before.
Quite the retailers.
Yeah, so.
And but that has changed, as you know.
So again, that's one of the challenges, and a part of it, again, working with Main Street to be successful with that. I know one of the things, getting a chance to review some of their summary, was they said you guys had adequate resources. I mean, the application that went in,
right.
It was you had resources that were showing there. You had the city had committed some money. You had several businesses or sponsors that committed some money. They wanted to see, I think, some more public buy-in, some more people willing to buy in and help support the effort. Is this something you would help support, Tracy, getting for the Main Street application?
I would definitely support it.
Okay.
It's you can't pay for everything all on your own, and you can't keep taxing people, telling them they have to do this so we can build a better community. There has to be some sort of help from the state, like you're saying, where we're taking this money in. And I'd love to see this spot up there where the old Fairway was. I'd love to see a restaurant go in there. I would, because people that work downtown, they don't mind walking to a restaurant and eating. A lot of them are only allowed a half an hour break or 45 minutes, whatever it is. I think they will volunteer and use that. The new restaurant that's going across from the city hall, I think it's going to be a great thing.
I go back to a predecessor and local businessman, Bob Fisher, who would always say, I would just rather not be the only one. Give people an opportunity to come and take a look at more than one place. So, again, that's something I remember him saying a long time ago. I wanted to hit on a couple of other things for you as well. We talked about the Main Street. Did want to talk, partly because that's an ongoing process, and whoever gets elected mayor will be involved with that, I'm sure. So that's one of the other things that we have to keep working on. Eli knows more about this than the others probably, but the council some time ago did establish basically a resolution. They've given themselves some guidelines to maintain reserves. The city of Boone does have pretty solid policy on that, and you followed it pretty closely. And I've always, one of the questions I always bring up is, how much is too much?
Yeah.
And so those are some of the challenges you have. So in different accounts, they'll have, what, a 30%
reserve.
I think it's a 30% reserve. So on your general fund account, they try to carry 30% of the general fund and have that available. I can remember a time when it was down to $14,000.
Yes.
On a carryover.
It used to be the city was like $400,000 debt. Yeah. You know, now it's the other way around. So it has flipped that way.
So carrying reserves like that, I'm going to go with Eli first so you guys can hear his thoughts on this.
So, and we talked a little bit about budget earlier and what we would cut if, you know, things went bad. I am in the fortunate position when I came on, our balance sheet has been healthy since I started. And I have to give credit to my predecessors, the councils, mayors, in getting us to that place because we do have a healthy balance sheet and we do have ample reserves and more than what is set by our policy. And I do think that going well over our policy amount is doing a disservice to the citizens in two ways. Way number one is that we're taking in too much in taxes than we need to. We don't need to be a profit, you know, making enterprise. And then number two, we have investments that we've all talked about here that we need to make and are desired by the citizens. So deferred maintenance on our roads, like we talked about, deferred maintenance on our parks, things like that, that we can put that money to work for the citizens of Boone right away. And that won't, and actually we could talk about buying down that tax levy using reserves as well.
Okay. So again, watch the reserves and keep to your limits, your guidelines. Yeah. Okay. I'll go with Denny next.
Well, you know, I guess my thought on that would be I would rather have the reserves there because it's a rollover. You keep using the reserves to pay for the next a year, so to speak. You know, if you have a budget, which the budget's been balanced now for several years, we always fall in that category. So I just don't want to go where you're spending money and if you get caught, and you get caught short, then you're going to have to cut something.
Right.
And are you going to cut the parks? Are you going to cut the library? You're going to cut the police. We haven't even talked about police yet. And
it's there. Don't worry. It's on.
Okay. But, I mean, that's the issue. So now what do you do?
Yeah. Okay. So I know, Tracy, you probably didn't. You maybe were, maybe you weren't aware. But, again, the policy the council actually has on keeping some of the reserves there. They go into them and they do pull them out when they need them. A perfect example would have been derecho, because the money from FEMA doesn't come in very fast, so they had to pay the bills.
So my take on it is this is business 101 to me. If you don't have a reserve, you're in trouble. Okay, if you don't make improvements over the years, you're definitely going to have a surplus. There's no doubt about it because you're not reinvesting money back into your business. So, yes, there should be a reserve, and there needs to be a number on that reserve. You said it's 30%. That's a great number to have. But why do we have such a surplus, and why do we have situations like our roads? Why are we not reinvesting back in our business to make things better?
Okay. Let's go to police. I actually had someone pose me this question for you guys, if you want. Population in Boone really hasn't changed in 100 years. We've seen those numbers. The housing study showed that. We know that at one time, 30, 40 years ago, we probably had half as many police officers as we do now. So what's the story? Do we need more officers? Is it a comfortable number? Where are we at here? And I'm going to go with, we'll go with Denny first.
Yeah, you're in my wheelhouse here now. I didn't mention it earlier. I'm currently chair of the Civil Service Commission. I've been on the commission for 13 years. We currently have 17 police officers full-time, okay? We did have 18, but due to the budget and monies and the availability to hire people, the chief came up with an idea of eliminating a position so that we can increase our starting pay to entice more people to do so. We lost our SRO over that.
School resource officer.
And to me, that is a must. That officer puts a lot of things at rest in these schools. And I also think it's a mental health issue. I happen to have grandkids in these schools here in town. If they know that there's a police officer, now they're little, but they get the idea that a police officer is going to protect them. Let's move on up into the higher grades. They hear things. They see things. They're being told things. And don't say it doesn't happen. It just happened in Storm Lake yesterday where they had a potential shooting situation. So I would like to see funding to get the officers back up. The state average in a town our size for full-time police officers is 22. That's the average. Okay. We're at 17. So we're understaffed, quote, according to the state.
Okay.
But our pay is above. Not by much, but we are up there. But we're not getting any applicants. I think the ones that we've done or the applicants that we have and the officers, fortunately or unfortunately, because of term, I've probably been involved in the hiring process of probably 80% of them. And that the process is quite extensive. It goes from the civil commission first to the police officer board, then to the chief. He's the one that hires the guy.
Sure.
Okay?
Yeah.
So it's a long process.
Okay. Eli.
Right. So we had 18 officers as our approved force. Functionally, we had 17 or 16 over the past 6 years. And so I think the chief, his desire was to maintain the staff that we had, make sure that they're all through the academy and full force on that, and try to increase that pay so that they weren't drawn to the metro area. And he felt that it was his request to reduce that salary line by one, increase the pay in order to stabilize that number and the people that were on the force so they can get a lot more experience.
Mm-hmm. Comfortable with the number?
The current time, unless the chief has a discussion otherwise, you know, it's he's more of an expert than I am in the situations, and I want to defer the experts and the department heads as much as possible.
Tracy, your thoughts?
My question would be looking at the budget. Is 17 people enough? Are we paying overtime? There comes a point where if you're paying overtime, you have to have another officer on duty to relieve that overtime. Yeah. There also becomes a point where people need a day off, and if we're calling in officers on their day off, they're going to get burnout. Yeah. In any business, it works the same way that way. So you also said our population hasn't changed. Yeah. So we've increased our police officers. What's the crime rate done? It's definitely increased from where it used to be.
Yep.
So we need officers on duty. There's no doubt about it. They've got to be paid. As far as I'm concerned, they've got to be paid at least equal to what our counties or our towns around us. Otherwise, they're going to come here, they're going to get their 2 years experience, and they're going to walk on to the next town because they can get paid $10,000 more if we're not at a competitive wage.
Sure. Yeah, on the overtime issue, that's actually something we looked at the fire department. We saw that the overtime was quite high, and we were able to hire another full-time firefighter without really changing the budget very much.
We got to have staff so that when somebody calls 911, they get a response from one either fire, police, EMS, okay? Public safety is a huge issue, and so no matter if you're young or old or whatever your situation is, when you make that phone call, I want somebody there. If it takes 17, 18, 19 people to get there, we have 10 full-time fire department or firemen right now with a lot of part-time paid on-call folks. Their pay is not as high as the state average.
I can remember over the last 20, 25, 30 years, something like that, and it's come up on more than one occasion, but why do we have a full-time fire department? Should we continue to have a full-time fire department? Most of the time, it just is something that's thrown out there and never goes very far because people like having somebody respond when they make that call.
It's absolutely crucial that we have a full-time fire department, both for our city and for our rural residents and our nearby cities as well. I couldn't imagine moving away from that model.
Yeah, Tracy?
You have to have a full-time fire department. As a matter of fact, there are insurance companies out there that will not insure in Boone, Iowa, because we don't have the number of firefighters that we should have according to our community size.
Mm-hmm. So there are drawbacks already for some.
I also want to say in that department, police, fire, both quality is way better than quantity.
And we do have pretty good. Actually, have the first apprentice, right?
Right. That's an amazing program.
EMT apprentice. Yes. So thanks to the chief on that
That's
one.
That's right.
Throw that in there. Let's talk. Let me ask you about chickens. Okay, we might start to wind some things down here, but not chicken dinners either.
I was gonna say I love chicken.
Exactly.
That's one of the things I know that people ask about. Are you gonna allow chickens in Boone? And at this point in time, I think again the way the ordinance reads, there are restrictions on it. So. Who wants to go first? Let's go.
I'll go first.
Go first.
Do I think we need chickens? I could care less if we have chickens in this town, but there needs to be a number on it. If you want chickens, if you want them for the fact that you want to make cook or have eggs for your family, you don't need a whole flock of chickens. You can have. There needs to be a number put on it, such as two chickens. That'll make you enough eggs for your family, and the people that want more chickens are out selling them. Roosters are out of the question. That's not even a... It's not even in there.
Yeah. I think it's a personal property rights issue. You know, I didn't hear any compelling reasons to not have them when that discussion was had earlier. I think modeling an ordinance off of, you know, best practices across the state would be a great thing to do.
Okay. Any?
No.
Okay.
Period.
There are. it's one of those things, and people get pretty emotional about it.
Yeah.
And stuff. One of the things that's been going on, and you probably hear some, it started, well, gosh, what, 5 years ago now, inflow and right. infiltration.
Yes.
That's basically what's come up is, I call it the sump pump inspection program.
Yes.
So, I&I is one of those costs that the city incurs when you get stormwater running through your sanitary sewer system. We're into the fifth year,
phase
I believe,
five,
now.
Yeah.
Year five. I know we've gotten some people that are starting to bring in some complaints.
Yes.
You've covered a lot of the town already. Let's go with Eli first, because I think you were part of...
This is one of those things where, and it is an encumbrance on individual homeowners, but... It's something that we have to get done for the cost of the overall city and wear and tear on our wastewater treatment plant and keeping costs down for wastewater customers as well. Because if we go over those limits, we have to get permits and we have to increase costs for everybody. So it's a tough thing to do. And that's where it takes, you know, really leadership and drive to get something like this done. It's a collective thing. We also have in place the property protection program where the people get reimbursed for some of the costs that they incur when they do that. So make sure you take advantage of those resources and you talk to your plumber about what you need to do to make sure that we can all get into this together.
Sure. Okay. Danny.
Yeah, it's a great, it's something that, it's a good program. We've saved a lot of money in treatment by doing that as far as treating that water. There is a cost a little bit if you're not playing by the rules. But it sure saves on equipment and treatment of the water, pricing, so on and so
on,
forth.
On backups for some people, too. Tracy, your thoughts on it, too.
So
they haven't quite got to your location.
No, it's a great idea. By changing that clear water into the storm sewers, we saved a $5 million bill because our treatment plant was at max capacity for water coming in. So by changing it to stormwater, we save that $5 million bill for the city.
So, and again, those are one of the things I know other communities try to do it. Some, we don't have all the infrastructure for it. I think that's one of the challenges, collector lines, things like that, that would people would be able to put their lines into and things like that. So it's ongoing. You would like to see it continue, I'm guessing?
Correct.
Okay.
Yeah.
Correct. Yes.
Everybody goes with that too. All right. Tell me, I'm going to start with Tracy. We'll go ahead with him first. When you're elected, what would you consider to be like maybe your top two first priorities? And how would you achieve those?
My top two first priorities, the first one's going to make sure the wellness center doesn't go. That's going to be my first thing.
Okay.
The second thing I want to work on is streets.
Okay. And finding out more about, I'm guessing, the what's happening with the streets and how you go.
Right.
Because for you, it would be quite a learning. You'd have to go through that learning process.
Right, but it's a learning process that's based on a budget.
Mm-hmm.
You can't go out and spend $400 million and replace every street in Boone, Iowa. It's not feasible. Everybody knows that. Yeah. But we got to start somewhere.
Okay. Denny, what would you identify as being a couple of your top priorities, and how would you get to them?
I think the first thing we got to do is get control of the hatred and bad talking that goes on in this town. Get the town working together. You cannot do any of these projects that we've talked about when you've got so much cat fighting going on, as I'm going to call it. And I'm a negotiator. That's what I did for 48 years. I'm a listener and a negotiator. I can listen to both sides. I don't have a personal agenda here. I don't have a vendetta like some people do in this town against current people. And so that would be my number one thing. Bring these folks. There's not a large group, but there's a group that just constantly wants to stir everything. Mm-hmm. Their information is usually wrong because they don't take the time to find out the real deal. But that would be my number one deal, is to get that done, besides the stuff that's crucial. Don't get me wrong. But before we can get anything going down the path, you got to take everybody's side, listen to it, and then get everybody to work for the same thing.
So that'd be top one.
That's number one.
Okay.
Yeah. And then looking for funding for the police.
Okay.
No doubt about it.
Levi.
Or Eli.
Eli.
Eli. A lot of it is continuing on the momentum that we have now, especially housing growth. We had that housing needs assessment, and we saw, you know, that we need 523 houses for individuals making over $100,000 a year, 360 for individuals making less than $25,000 a year. So the properties that are going up now are going to address some of that need. I would like to take the 2,868 people who are driving into Boone for work that don't live here, and I want them to find a home here. Because they're already invested in this community, and if they live here, they're going to spend more money at our downtown retailers, and I want those retailers to thrive because they have that business. So I want to continue working on that, and growth of that nature is going to increase our property valuations overall, our property tax base, and we're going to be able to lower that property tax levy and additionally tackle a lot of deferred maintenance issues through that. So all of that kind of goes all together in one big package, and I will have to agree with Denny to have an administration, and I hope any of us that get into this position have an administration that is inclusive to all of the people, the citizens of Boone, and take their differences into account, and then come to a reasonable solution and a path forward on each of these issues.
There's just so much catfighting that goes on between committees, departments, name it what you want. I just don't understand it.
I think part of that catfighting goes on because nobody knows who's driving A and who's driving B. There needs to be way more communication between committees of what they're doing and what this other guy's doing, too. And I think that would help.
But
communication is the key to everything.
They have an agenda or a vendetta, though, Tracy. I mean, they do. In my case, I happen to mention a good supporter of yours, the McKnights. If I mention anything about rent or something, they come off the back end of that deal. Hey, just strong rental codes. That's all I said. You got to have safe places downtown if you want to talk about it, or other properties. But they have that vendetta thing, and I don't understand why. They don't even live in Boone.
They own quite a few properties in Boone,
right,
Iowa.
Exactly.
And they invest a lot of time into the community.
I'm not saying that.
So
I'm just
when you say you need more rental codes, why don't you be more specific?
I didn't know. You misunderstood me. I didn't say more rental codes. I said strong rental codes. There's a difference, okay? I'm not saying that the ones that are currently there are bad. They just need to be enforced.
Okay. this is one of my favorites because I have not personally talked to the folks from Parkton Sparks who own the old Y building. They claim that they're not going to walk away from it. The city would get stuck with it if something were to happen and they were to divest themselves of that. So that would be a chunk There come our reserves. Yeah. We'll go with Eli first.
It's so difficult to deal with these buildings, especially like the Giggling Goat and the parking ramp there, where the commercial owners are absent. They're not taking care of the buildings. They have no interest in doing anything with them. Each situation is uniquely different, and so I'd take that as it came. I really couldn't predict the future on that, but it's very difficult to deal with those situations legally.
I know they've communicated that they're not going to leave it.
I think there could be a lot of good things that building could be used for. If the right person, the right entrepreneur, can look at it and say, here's my vision. The high school is right next door. They have a vision for a business that benefits the students of the high school. I think somebody could run with it. It just takes that right person with that right opportunity, and I'd love for the city to partner with anybody that had that idea.
Tracy, your thoughts? Okay. He's going to go to Tracy and his thoughts on it.
My thoughts on the why. The only thing I understand what's going on with the why, it would be way too much money to renovate it and make it be a profitable situation for somebody.
Fairway even brought their engineers on it. I did some research on it here. To take that building and bring it up to par, code, whatever word you want to use, it'd be over $8 million. Just to get it to that point. The pool's shot, the floors are shot, the roof's shot. There's nothing.
I was going to say, it's been empty for a while.
Yeah, now, there's nothing there. I'm sorry.
I know they've guaranteed the city or said to the city, no, we are not going to walk away and leave you with it. But
I bet they do.
We'll take it as it comes.
We thought the railroad was going to keep moving more of the trains to the east, too, so with the overpass out there. And, it's what it is, too. Wrapping things up, I'm going to go, let's start backwards and go this way. Eli, this time, people want to find out more about your campaign, get a chance to visit with you about anything. Yes. What's the best way to go about that?
Yeah, I have a website, steinsformayor.com, a Facebook page, facebook.com/steinsformayor, phone number 605-670-9120. They're all great ways to reach me.
Okay. Denny.
Same way. You can catch me on Denny Hammond for Mayor on the website. You can pick me up on email, dennyhammond71.com. Phone number, 515-230-9151. You can email me or text me.
Okay. And Tracy, for you?
You can reach me on my Facebook page, Tracy Anderson for Mayor. Phone number is 515-290-9471. You can message me. You can call me. If I don't answer, leave a message. I will get back to you as soon as I can. I appreciate all the support I'm getting out there.
Okay. And the bottom line is, people, please go vote.
Right.
I think, whether you vote early or whether you're going to go to the polls on November 7th, please go vote. Thanks so much for joining us.
Thanks, Jim.
Thank you, Jim.